It Takes Two, Amy Eiler, J.J. Gordon. The mechanics are in. Okay, rapid fire random questions. You don't have to give any explanation about your answers, okay? Okay.
All right, deal.
But I'm going to guess at Johnson's Auto Repair, you've seen a few cars in your day. Like, you've worked on a few cars. And so some of them get reputations with you, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're not going to ask you specifics, but if you had to pick between a Toyota RAV4 or a Honda CR-V, which one would you buy?
RAV4.
Yep, probably the RAV4, because we never work on them.
Okay, see, there you go. I love it. What car isn't making it to 100,000 miles? Can you name one that isn't going to make it to 100,000 miles? Or if you had to guess, is that one too hard?
Maybe this question makes more sense before, like, we are seeing 300,000 miles on, like, the odometer, right?
Maybe.
So without any repairs, they're not going to make it? Or they're just going to die before 100,000?
Ooh, I guess, good follow-up question.
Yeah, that's a good follow-up. I mean, however you want to, do you have one in mind?
I mean, I would say without, like, a major repair. Like, which one is going to need a major repair before 100,000 miles?
Nissan, Ford.
A Nissan or a Ford?
Unfortunately, some Chevrolet, too.
Yeah, they really all do have their issues. So, you know, the Ford, Chevys. Yeah,
that is one thing, yeah. You know, I know it's rapid fire, but nowadays, too, like, we'd talked with maintenance, you know, in previous months on this show, maintenance is crucial, and any make and model, you know, can and will break down if not maintained properly. No.
Okay. Rate a Ford Explorer from 0 to 10 as a vehicle.
6.8.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say
that's so specific. I love it.
Because he has one.
Oh, interesting.
And they are my pretty decent vehicle.
Yeah.
They are good.
Yeah. I've had to do 2 wheel bearings to it and spark plugs and oil changes, but I keep on it too, obviously, and make sure that it's changed properly. But no, we do have quite a few miles on there, you know, like I said, and brakes too we did on there. So, I mean, that's normal maintenance stuff on there. But yeah, if you change your fluids and monitor that stuff, you know, you can get a few miles, even out of a Ford too. I'm impressed.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. I like it.
And he drives a Chevy, so.
Right?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Do people call in and ask you that from time to time? Do you have customers who say, gosh, you know, I'm finally going to get a new vehicle. What do you like? What do you don't like?
We do that quite often, yeah. And then we'll offer them a complete vehicle inspection.
Oh, yeah?
We'll go in, bring their vehicle to try it out, and we'll do a complete inspection for them. And, that's a smart thing to do.
I believe that. I believe that.
Anything hidden, you know.
Clearly, the term lemon and cars go hand in hand, right? You hear that every now and then that you've just got a lemon. I mean, is it just the nature of building so many cars that every now and then some of them are just going to have issues? Like, it just is the way it is?
Yes and no. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit... A lot of times, too, people are going to get used vehicles, right? And then... You don't know where from the country they came from. So we get some of these natural disasters and, you know, believe it or not, those flood or hurricane vehicles can end up in our area, right? And then without any proper information, you know, you don't know. I mean, there's things to look for, like watermarks, water stains, and then, you know, how the vehicle was kept and maintained if it never saw a car wash and never been inside. And except for right before the other person sold it, well, on the outside, it may look nice and clean. The interior might be nice and detailed, but you lift it up on the hoist and the thing's just rotted and rusted away. So, especially nowadays with these thinner metals and everything we're using to make the cars lighter, it's really important to keep the vehicle clean.
You know, good old Bruce Beckeris, in fact, we want to talk about Bruce here just for a second, but Bruce used to always say, like, listen, 4 months after a hurricane is the worst time to buy a used car because they're trying to get those things moved all over the country and you just never know. That's why you need to look in deeper more than just getting in and being like, oh, it smells decent in here. I'll put an offer in on this car. By the way, Bruce, host of The Mechanics Are In for a long time from A1 Automotive, he's in Greece right now. So he's enjoying his retirement.
Love it.
And I think it's so great because I know Bruce was really worried when he was like thinking about hanging up, you know, his mechanics hat for the last time. Like, gosh, what's going to happen to A1 Automotive? And then for those of you who don't know, that's where Johnson's comes in. You guys came in, you took over the A1 shop. You're servicing those customers. Dennis, you're even telling me you guys are even honoring the warranties from A1.
Yeah, we honored our warranties, and Bruce didn't want it to just to go to anybody either. We had to have an interview.
Did you?
Yeah.
Before the purchase,
so all of our mechanics and my wife and I, we came, and he said, you guys will be okay.
Oh, that's great.
I love
that's
that.
Awesome.
And that's how I got my feet wet here, too, Bruce. I had to come with me a couple times to make sure I lived up to his expectations.
He wanted to make sure that you could take over the mechanic as in. Yep. You weren't just going to get it.
Right.
What a great melding of, you know, your current customers and then those A1 customers coming in. So what a great opportunity for those folks. And if you haven't been in to see them yet, if you're an A1 customer, stop in, say hello, and get to know the folks who hung their sign outside. It's the same exact floor when you walk in, you know, so no worries.
Can we go back to my 0 to 10?
Okay,
I want
sure.
you to rate a Chevy Silverado.
10.
Wow.
He drives one.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so do I.
What?
10.
We'll go 8.8.
Okay. Yeah, okay. 8.8. They can't be perfect.
Well, yeah.
But they're pretty close.
We just like Chevys, so.
Okay. Okay.
We're kind of Chevy guys, but they do have issues too, just along with. You know, with everything else, yeah.
Sure. Right. Gosh, I can't believe I picked the vehicles that you guys drive. I didn't mean to do that in either one of these. I didn't know what you drove. Right. So that's funny. Both of the ones that I picked, you drive. Elaine has called in and has a question for you guys. Go ahead, Elaine. You're on KFGO.
I was just wondering how much does an oil change for 2018 Ford F-150?
An oil change?
Yeah.
The cost of an oil change?
Yeah, depending on, you know, if it's a 6 or 7 quart system, you know, you'll be with synthetic oil, you're going to be anywhere from like, you know, $95 to $115, somewhere in there.
And can you, let's talk about oil changes when it comes to synthetic oil. Is that the only thing that you're recommending now?
That's pretty much the norm for most makes and manufacturers, I'd say, for the past almost 10 years now. Yeah, just the, you know, the detergents additive package, and the big thing about synthetics is, you know, they're able to, you know, flow a lot easier in colder temperatures as well versus, you know, your conventional oils. So the newer these engines are getting, they want lighter weight oils, so it's really important that, you know, the synthetic blends can reach the, you know, and keeping it clean to get all to these little passages and bearings and everything in these engines now. Yeah. A lot going on in them.
And a lot of the oils nowadays... they're using like 8 quarts of synthetic, so the oil changes get to be expensive.
Yeah.
We're normally in the older ones were like 5.
The conventional.
Right.
Yeah.
But you changed your oil more frequently too, right? With conventional over synthetic?
Exactly, yeah.
In a perfect world, yeah, that, you know.
Yeah, you can go 3,000 roughly on a regular conventional or a 5,000 on a full synthetic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some people do stretch it out a little more than 5, but. You know, that's what we recommend to keep it, keep a good running vehicle, you know.
Sure. Okay, we're getting some questions in at 35270. Oh, now some people are wanting you to rate their vehicle.
No. What'd you start, Amy?
I know. See what I started? I didn't mean to. This is an interesting question. Have you had to work on EV cars, and what was the fix?
I haven't.
Electric vehicles?
Yeah, in our shop, I haven't had to work on just a full EV yet. I am capable of doing that, but a lot of the full EVs are still going to carry a factory warranty. So dealerships are still seeing a majority of that. Now hybrids, I've worked on, serviced quite a few of them too. You know, replacing the actual EV batteries and mainly Priuses and some like the early Honda Accords that have an integrated motor assist, which is their version of like a hybrid. But yeah, a lot of times, you know, they still have brakes and stuff that wear out like normal vehicles, sometimes not as quick because it uses a regenerative braking. So it uses the electric motor to kind of help slow the vehicle down. But then again, there's still maintenance with the brakes too. So being the fact that they're not used as much, you know, those pins, it's really important to like, you know, sell a service to lubricate them so, you know, they don't get stuck or, you know, seized over time.
Here's a question from inside our own KFGO family. They want to know, what do you think about leaving wipers up and the potential for wind damage to the mechanism? So, you know, when people are expecting a little ice on the windshield, who pop those things up and let them sit like that while it's parked during the day?
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry too much about them getting damaged, you know, as far as they're up, you know, depending on the weather, you know, what's coming down. If you get that heavy, wet snow and it's starting to stick to there with a 40-mile-an-hour wind, you know, you could run the risk of stretching it. You know, you got to kind of use your own discretion on that. But if it's that light, fluffy, powdery snow, I don't think that would hurt it too bad. They're usually spring loaded.
Right, yeah.
You just want to be careful if the wind went the other way or something all the way quick and slammed it down too quick. You know, you could run the risk of cracking your windshield too.
Mm, so. Sure.
Be aware of that.
Does anyone just lose a windshield wiper? Because that happened to me last week. JJ's like, I think someone took your windshield wiper. I'm like, is that a thing? Do people take windshield wipers?
No, they sometimes just fly off.
Yeah, the plastic retainer breaks, you know.
But wouldn't I have noticed that happening? I think I would have noticed, right? I mean, it's kind of
hard. Do you use your wipers?
Well, I did go to use my wipers.
And then you found out that it was gone.
I mean, it was just kind of one of those things where I was like, I think I would notice if that just randomly flew off. But then I was like, is that a thing? Do people just take windshield wipers? I don't know.
Yeah, not usually. No.
I mean, I can't say it can happen, but yeah.
Very bizarre.
But, you know, what's really funny is you can adjust your washer so you can wash the car behind you and then just look in the rearview mirror and see what he's doing. It's hilarious.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Teresa, you're on with the guys. Go ahead.
Hi. In regards to oil changes, I don't barely drive like 3,000 miles a year. And it's a 2017 Pacifica. On some of the talk shows, they say, well, you know, mileage, and then if you don't do the miles, because the oil can just break down. So you kind of do the time thing for both miles or the breakage down of the oil that you want to keep the update a little bit for oil changes. What do you guys say about that?
I'd personally recommend, are you putting a lot of miles on too? Is it idling a lot? Roughly how many, once a year is still what I'd, you know, like to recommend too on the newer vehicles, the synthetic oil. I mean, if you're doing it at least once a year, you should be okay on there. What do you think, Dennis?
Okay.
I mean,
yeah. I'd say once a year, that would be plenty good. That's what I tell all our customers, that once a year is plenty good.
Okay. Someone said, just got an oil change, the new windshield sticker says 3,000 miles or 3 months. 3 months, question mark? I don't know.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
The 3 months is just, that machine just kind of sets that and puts that out there, you know.
Oh, okay.
But definitely go a year, as far as time.
Sounds good.
I feel like it's all about oil changes today on the Mechanic Is In. Everyone's got questions about it, but first, we got to get to Gary. Gary's been waiting on the line for a while. The mechanics are in. Chris and Dennis from Johnson's Auto. Gary, you're on the Mighty 790. What do you got for the mechanics?
2010 Escalade, air shocks and rear axle leaking. Do you do that work?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Now, I had a Continental some years ago, a Lincoln Continental, and we replaced it with regular shocks because those air shocks, this weather, those baffles just constantly are a mess. Do you do a replacement of those?
Yeah, we can take a look at that. We do it kind of a case-by-case basis and kind of see what options would be better if we want to keep it as air ride back there or if there's some sort of aftermarket alternative, you know, to actually put in like more of a, you know, mechanical shock. So, yeah, it's definitely something we can take care of, and we've done quite a few of them before. So,
you want to throw out your phone number just in case?
If you need to get a hold of us, 218-512-0506, and then we are located just 11 blocks north of Menards there in Moorhead at 2627 16th Avenue South.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Gary. Appreciate it.
And one more. I just want to ask him one thing. Can you give me a guesstimate of the a replacement of a ballpark or what kind of money you're talking?
It kind of depends. You know, you could be anywhere, it's tough to do without seeing the vehicle, but, if we kept it OE with the air ride, it's probably right in that between $1,000 and $1,500 range. We'd have to see it first. So,
okay, thanks for the call. 2008 Chrysler 300 AWD, driving in a straight line. There's a humming noise coming from the front end, but slightly turning the wheel to the left, it stops. Is it a wheel bearing?
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah, it's very possible. Being it is an all-wheel drive too, it could be something in the transfer case or the rear differential, but when you turn one way or the other and it goes away, that's more likely a wheel bearing, yep.
Yeah, but it's changing pitches.
Okay. Someone says, how dependable is Ford's 2.7 liter engine in a F-150?
So far, I mean, it's still a fairly new engine for Ford, so that's another thing, too, if you keep up on your oil changes. I haven't seen too much with them yet. Turbochargers here and there. But, yeah, otherwise nothing too major yet with them. But, yeah, just take care of them. It'll take care of you.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the best fix to Ford's 3.5 EcoBoost startup rattle?
Well, normally there's an issue. There's an underlying issue, right? We either got a timing chain tensioner that's probably failing, or we have an oil pressure issue not keeping that tensioner pressurized enough. So, you know, obviously check, make sure your oil level is good and the quality is good as well, too. And then, yeah, you know, take it to your local trusted shop that you take it to, and then, you know, for the second opinion. But normally if it's rattling every time on startup, you got a component that has failed or you got an oil pressure issue.
Okay. Someone else says, I lost a wiper. Oh, did you have something to add to that, Dennis?
Nope, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Someone said, I lost a wiper going down the interstate, pulled over and slipped a glove over the arm so not to scratch the glass.
I think we've all seen that in a fellow driver on the interstate once or twice.
I love that. Okay. Someone wants you to rate a 2007, okay, 0 to 10, rate a Land Rover, Range Rover. This is specifically a 2007, but if you just want to rate it overall, I think rating a year would be hard.
Yeah, they're a good vehicle. It's just hard to get parts for them in this area.
And expensive, too. Depending on your situation as far as, like, economical for driving, you know, I'd give it about a 5.5 to maybe a 6, depending how well it's maintained.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at getting a 2019 Ford Ranger with 45,000 miles. Have they been pretty reliable? Any known problems? Ford
Not
Ranger?
Too many for those newer ones, no.
Just most important thing is to just take care of that oil change, because there's so many people that do not, and that's where we've been getting all the problems is overdoing the oil changes.
Sure. Then definitely take it and have it inspected before you maybe pull the trigger. You know, used vehicles are still really expensive too, so you know it's a cheap peace of mind when you're considering making that kind of purchase.
What about oil changes for someone who's towing a lot, right? Like, let's say they're bringing the boat back and forth to the lakes. They, you know, had to get the ice castle moving around a little bit. They're just towing on a regular basis. Does that do anything to the oil life?
It's good for them to do that. That works the engine, works the rings, gets them going, and that's the best thing for that engine, you know, is to work them. Just check your oil and go with your regular maintenance schedule, I would say.
Yeah, I'd go with the regular maintenance schedule. The one thing is you can never predict leaks or oil consumption. So it's always very important, you know, especially if you're towing and working hard, that you're making sure your oil level is full and where it is at. You know, when you're working them like that and you're running them low, I mean, then you can cause damage, obviously. So
I remember what we were supposed to ask the mechanics, Amy. We had a long conversation on this show about manual and automatic transmission. And remember the person who said, ask the mechanics if a manual transmission just seemed to last longer for times. They said they remember having a truck that just kept going and going and going, and then they got their first automatic truck, and it didn't last nearly as long.
Yeah, the reason is because it's a gearbox, and it will last forever as long as you take care of it. But the clutch is part of that. That's going to go out before.
Oh, really?
The gearbox, yeah. And then your automatic, say your torque converter, which is a clutch, goes out. So the automatic is going to go out probably quicker than your gearbox.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Interesting.
And then a reason why a lot of those automatic trannies too go bad is because a lot of people, you don't notice it, but there's like a lockup feature in your torque converter. And when that starts failing, when that torque converter doesn't go into lockup, it runs the transmission hotter, and then you're kind of basically overheating your transmission and not even knowing it. They don't have a lot, unless it's like super, super, super hot, they don't have a conventional temp sensor like your engine coolant, so you really don't know. Some of them have a gauge, and you can watch them, but even on the automatic trannies, you know, unless you're towing something, you know, you kind of want to see them, you know, around that 200 or below, you know, as far as temperature, if you do have access to a gauge on that, so.
Mm-hmm. This is a 2012 Toyota Camry. It won't start most of the time. When I try to start it, the only thing showing on the dashboard is a key icon. Interior lights work, exterior lights work. Won't start. Once I get it started, it'll last the rest of the day just fine.
So So it sounds like, from my understanding, like the initial start in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be a few different things. You could be losing like its fuel pressure prime, that, or you could have like a intermittent weak like crank sensor or something like that. You know, we have seen some weird cases with no starts right away recently caused by some battery cable issues. So
yeah.
I mean, there's a various amount of things that could, you know, that'd be something I definitely, you know, probably schedule and get to your trusted shop and have them take a look at that. So.
I feel like batteries today are just different than they were, you know, when I was younger. Like, I was used to popping it open and seeing an exposed battery the whole time, right?
Right.
And nowadays, it seems like everyone's got a battery cover on there. There's extra straps on it. So are they just making batteries to be, you know, better nowadays as far as its casing and things like that?
And just room they have to deal with, because there's a lot more crammed into underneath the hoods of these vehicles now. You know, you see a lot of plastic ductwork, you know, around your vehicle, and some people are like, well, you really don't need that. Well, the truth is a lot of that is there for a reason. It channels air to certain parts of the engine compartment. So a lot of these, and it's very crucial on these newer vehicles, especially on like four cylinders, because the turbo could be buried way in the back of the engine compartment. So that ductwork that might be part of the battery compartment or in the front channels air when you're driving to keep that turbo cooled. So it's really important, you know, if you have any questions at all, I highly recommend having like a shop, you know, just put a battery in instead of like the parts store, because all these plastic panels and stuff, even though I know they're frustrating, they do play a crucial role into maintaining that vehicle properly.
What about just our environment around here, and so much stuff can kind of get up and in there? Last time I took the battery case off, it happened to be full of leaves and things like that.
Right.
So when I bring it into a shop, when I bring my car into Johnson's, are you guys looking for, gosh, you know, looks like this guy parked this thing under a cottonwood tree and now it's all full?
Oh, yeah. We do our job of making sure all that stuff's removed, and then also educating the customer, too, as well, just to, so they're aware, right? So that way they can maybe try to avoid that scenario or know what to look for, too, you know.
Yeah, and we'll do a little extra for them, too. We'll just, you know, all these vehicles have these cabin filters inside their cab, just like your furnace filter in your house. And we'll just pull them out to see what they look like. And here they're just packed with leaves and everything. And we show the customer and we're like, oh, I don't want that. You know?
Right. So, well, I feel like every now and then you probably find a critter or two in there. I mean, we're getting to the point of where people are going to, you know, if they've had an old truck down at the lakes that they use down there, it's time to get that thing cranked back up. And you never know what it could have become home to during the winter months.
Yeah, I know. We see a lot of mice and stuff like that. I feel sorry for the little mice because they can't run as fast as that little wheel in there.
Yeah.
You know? And then they just stop running and they're clunk, 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 you know. But, yeah, we see a lot of mice and blower motors.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you smell plenty of mice in those blower motors, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, buckle up, you guys.
Okay,
here we go.
Ready?
Okay. We have to do this 2001 VW Jetta diesel first, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, 427,000 miles. Got 50 miles to the gallon, 50 miles per gallon when new, and now only gets 48.5 miles per gallon. What would cause the decrease?
Again, 427,000 miles on this Volkswagen Jetta diesel.
Well, I would say it's probably doing about what it's supposed to be. I'd blame it on maybe the new fuel blends now. But yeah, if you're only, my understanding is it went from 50 to 48.5.
Right.
I mean, that's not.
That's not much of a drop.
No. So I would say it's doing what it's supposed to be doing there.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, the rings could be starting to get a little weak too. You know, it's just probably doesn't have the compression it used to. But, you know, weak rings will bring it down 2 miles per gallon.
427,000 miles.
Yeah, congratulations. Good for you. And it's a 2001.
Wow.
So
that's solid.
I am impressed.
I bet he changes his oil.
I bet he does. Yeah. Yep. But the changes are out for sure.
Too. He does maintenance, I bet.
Yep. Right. Someone said 94 Nissan pickup starts right up when cold after warm. Have to hold gas pedal to the floor for 5 to 7 seconds before it fires up.
And a 94?
94. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a like a fuel pressure regulator that's ruptured and it's dumping fuel in the crankcase. When it's warm, it doesn't need that much fuel, but when it's cold, it does. So
okay. Right.
Someone says 2019 CRV sounded like it had an exhaust leak after a startup, after driving through deep snow and slush. Now it's warmer, no leak sound anymore. Could ice have caused this issue?
I mean, it's possible. you know, maybe there was something in the tailpipe too causing a little excessive back pressure, but usually it won't like go away completely after you leave it sit for a while. So it might have been something else. It might not have been an exhaust leak. Yeah, that'd be a good one to have checked out, I guess.
I feel like we've had several of these questions, so I'm going to combine them into one. But basically, your thoughts on electric vehicles, will they ever be dependable here up north?
They got a ways to go, but just like anything else with technology, you know, there was a time where, you know, cell phones, people thinking that you could watch videos and stuff like that on there would be, you know, not possible. So like with anything else, it takes a little time, but I do believe eventually there will be some sort of technology. My personal opinion, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever go full EV. We might have like a hydrogen fuel cell or something like that, but there'll definitely be some sort of alternative fuels.
Okay.
What's the most miles you've ever seen? Just out of curiosity.
528,000, I think.
Yeah.
And it was on a Chevrolet, too.
Yep. I got a 550 on a 04 Duramax diesel.
On an 04?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he goes, okay, so once this thing hits 500, it's going to sit out in my pasture, and I'm going to sit and look at it. And then he brought it in and had shocks and ball chains put in, so he wanted to drive it more. He just loves it. I bet you it's at 600 now.
Yeah.
Gall.
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. That is
very
impressive.
Well done.
Yep. Nice. There was a lot of love for Chevy, I feel like, on this episode of The Mechanics Are In.
Might be slightly biased.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I can feel that. I like it, though. GMC right up there?
Same thing. Yeah. Same factory.
Yep.
There we go. See, I'm
emblem.
All for this rhetoric.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, if someone wants to get a hold of you at Johnson's, how should they do that?
Well, you can give us a call at 218-512-0506, and we are located at 2627 16th Avenue South in Moorhead.
We'll see if Bruce brings you in some of that real Greek olive oil when he comes back in from his vacation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.